As we're continuing here with the book of Revelation, remember, the book of Revelation, up to this time we're in chapter 3, you got a lot of red lettering in your Bible. So remember, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that is speaking there to John as he writes this down. And you know, we pray this week too, as the Lord speaks to us, that we write these words on our hearts, that we will not forget what we have in our minds and in our hearts. So we have looked at, there was the one church here, Ephesus, and you know, Ephesus lost its love. That was the first of the seven churches. Then there was Smyrna, it was the persecuted church. And then there was Pergamon, who was the compromising church. And then there was Thyatira, the corrupt church. And then there was the Sardis, the dead church. And then, of course, there's Philadelphia. We looked at last week, the church of brotherly love, that, you know, God, through his grace and mercy, loves that church because it was the expression of his will is to love one another. Got to ask our question today. We got to check our hearts. Where is our love? Where are we putting our values? Where are we putting our minds today? So, and then there's the last church, the Laodicean church, the lukewarm church. There, I've been trying to cover as much as I can. There is so much to cover here, but I'm trying to just get to the main point. So, Laodicea, here we go. So we have here the lukewarm church. The angel of the church, as I do expository preaching, as you know I do, so I'm picking apart these verses. You have an outline here. We're going to look at, first of all, verses 14 through 17, the condition of Laodicea. Now, mind you, there are churches today that are living like this. They live one foot in the world, and they live one foot spiritually with the Lord, and you can't do that. And Jesus says you love, either you hate one or you love the other master. Okay, you can't serve both. And of course, in that context, Matthew's talking about with money and the things of the world and the things of God. But you get my drift here, okay? So the angel or the messenger of the church, the angel was to the pastors or the messengers. Some versions have pastors, other have angels or messengers. So the messenger is giving you the word, okay? John wrote this down, and he took it back with him there in the Isle of Patmos. And remember, he was caught up in a vision with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he took this with him to the churches. And a lot of expositors think that he had a lot to do with these churches that are mentioned here in Revelation 2 and 3. So Laodicea means the rule of the people. Okay, so when you have people getting involved instead of putting God first, what happened to Israel? Israel got in trouble because they wanted kings. And what happened with the kings? Remember, you had Saul, and David, and then you had Solomon. And, you know, it wasn't the same. God's saying, okay, if you want what the pagans have, you can have it. The problem is today in churches brought a lot of paganism into church. And they say, my goodness, I don't see it anywhere. I don't see it written anywhere. But it's in the spirit of error. It's there. A lot of foundations, a lot of things that churches have brought into their homes and people. It's all kinds of wrong, okay? They got their values mixed up. And, you know, you have to really study your own heart, your own mind, and you have to study your own home and saying, Lord, where am I letting all this in that shouldn't be there today? A lot of people like religion, but a lot of people don't like that relationship with Jesus Christ. So when you have the rule of the people, you have people calling the shots. That's what I'm trying to say here this morning. And a lot of denominations have gone liberal. They have gone the wrong way because they decided, you know, we want our church to be bigger, or we want things to be done a different way, so we have rule over everything. Very thankful that we have a congregational rule here in our church here today. That's why we have our meeting after church. And we have men in the office that are held accountable, you know, and our church congregation is held accountable. We're all held accountable to one another in love and in peace. It's not, you know, rules without love means nothing. Like 1 Corinthians 13, if you have love, it means nothing. So Laodicea, background there, it was a very wealthy city. They had lots of money. They're very well off as far as it goes with gold. They were very well off. So they had a lot of money that way. Also, they had the wool industry. They did quite well with the black wool that was very much sellable and made a lot of money off of that. They also had the eye salve, which medically helped out too. So they had everything going for them. You know, when you put those three together, they had just much, you don't need anything, and that's their problem. Jesus said, Jesus, remember, standing on the outside of the door of their hearts and knocking to come in. Can I come in? Can I come in? And it has the aorist view that he's still trying to come in. Unfortunately, you know, I'm speaking for myself. Sometimes I take that for granted. And, you know, I'm just like anybody else. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. You're so merciful. You're so gracious, so kind, and so generous to me. Because sometimes I just don't see it. And it's right there. So they had everything they wanted, okay? And that was their demise. They said, we don't need anything. We're, you know, we have everything we need. And you look in the United States, we're blessed. You know, a lot of materialism, a lot of blessings. Time around 1964, they took the prayer out of school. They, you know, a lot of things started going downhill. Now we're just living off the remnants that are left, you know, from what people died, people fought for this nation, and so on and so forth. So, but Laodicea, they had even an earthquake that came along around 60 AD, and they said to Rome, because they were a colony of Rome, they were at the crossroads, so they were looking good business sense. They were like, you know what? We don't need your help, Rome. We're okay. We'll pay our taxes. We can take care of ourselves. Nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, but you got to remember, one takes better care of you than you can for yourself when you think you can take care of yourself. Yeah, we're talking about trials and tribulations in James. Well, you know, that makes you take a double look at your life and say, Lord, I need you. I need you every day. And so they had an issue. They had a weakness. Now, everybody here has a weakness, right? Well, they had a weakness with their water supply, okay? And from Colossae, you had, and Herapolis, you had two water conditions that came in, one from the north and one from the south. One brought in cold water, which is refreshing. The other one brought in hot water. Okay, and they're about 10 miles from Laodicea. But the problem is when the Romans built the aqueduct systems, there was problems with sulfur and impurities and poisons. And you've ever been around an area that smells like sulfur? It's repulsive. Okay, so Jesus is saying here in a type of analogy, he says, look, he says, you know, you're neither hot or cold. You know, it's nothing worse than having a lukewarm cup of coffee, right? You know, I don't even like, I'm not going to get into my personal aspects, but you know, you want it hot or you want it cold. It's refreshing. It goes down. So you had the impurities there. And Jesus is saying, either you are or you aren't. So get on or get off. You know, let your yeas be yeas, your nays be nays. So moving on here, says here, to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, says the Amen and Faithful. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. In other words, God's not going to change. You know, we talked about that again in James. It's like, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not going to change because we want to change things. We got to change things because we want him to change our lives. It's a big difference. You can go away on vacation. I hope you all go away, and I hope you all take a nice trip this spring or this summer just to get away. But honestly, when you're sitting in that hotel room or a bed and breakfast, and you're sitting there or you're looking out the window in a different world, different place and time, does it change anything? No, it doesn't. You're still living with yourself, and you still got to deal with those issues. And yes, if you want to take a break, go for it. Get away for a while. It's healthy. It's a good thing to get away. So God never changes. And so he has also said here that the amen and faithful and true witness. So Jesus says to sanctify them through truth, the truth in my, and the truth is my word. John 17:17. So God's word doesn't change as we see here. And the beginning of the creation of God. So he's saying he's truthful, faithful, and he's been that way since the beginning of creation. Now, why would he say that? It's because it's very simple. You have people today. I'm going to give you an illustration of what's going on today. Do you realize there are over 2 million people that claim to be trans? Okay, 2 million people. That's a lot of people. A lot of messed up people. Look, God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. Let me tell you something. People have their priorities in the wrong place. But do you realize this too? That you can't change a person's DNA. Once you have that DNA, it doesn't change. And I wonder, some people want to be something they never were called to do. Some people want to be wannabes, you know? Oh, you know, God has blessed this nation so much. We have so much to offer people and to help one another out. And God has wonderful plans for us if we just take the time to know him better. But since the beginning of creation, God has not changed. He's still there as he is. So we're looking at the condition of Laodicea. They thought they didn't need anything. God's saying, I'm still the same. Have you got it? Sometimes we all can be a little dense in the head. That's me, you know. And, you know, I need a little waking up some mornings, you know. I'm not totally functioning there. And God helps me get going here. So, all right, enough said about that. So he's there. Verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. And he goes on to say here, I couldn't wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So what he's saying here, there is no middle road. You can't have both things. Because if you do, what's going to happen is it's like a scale, you know. They used to measure money on a scale, you know, how much it was worth. And after a while, it starts doing this. And God's saying, look, I want to have a balanced life with you. I want to see you eye to eye. I want you to look at me in the eye and get to know me, okay? And, you know, I want you to be humble. I want you to reach out to me. But some people just never learn. Some people just, you know, are hard-headed. Some people are like, nope. And we do pray for our children and our great-grandchildren and people that we know, we love. We pray that they come to know the Lord. And you're like, Lord, I've come to an end of myself. I don't know what else I'm going to tell this person. God's saying, just let go and let me. But, you know, today in our society, we're too comfortable. We are. We like it. And that's how the devil wants it. He wants things to be just enough, cozy enough for us. So we fall asleep, you know, fall asleep reading the Word of God. So, in the condition here, and then we see in here in verse 17, it says, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. There's also another way of putting it, just wretched has the idea of being spiritually apostatized. In other words, we're living in an age where people will tell you anything. I go out and I evangelize, and you know, I'm very careful. I try to be very comfortable with people, and I try to share the gospel the right way as I'm praying that God will open doors. And it works both ways when you're witnessing to somebody. But, you know, you get around telling somebody, hey, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. And then right away they're going to think in their mind, well, I'm Lutheran, Baptist, Bible, Catholic, or whatever, you know. All right, we'll see you later. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We are Christians. That's it, you know. But it shows me right away they don't want to talk about Jesus. They don't want to talk about Jesus, okay? At least give somebody 5 minutes. My idea is like if a salesman comes up to me and says, look, I'm going to give you 5 minutes, but you're also going to give me 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you about Jesus, okay? There's nothing better than Jesus. So they were wretched. They were miserable, unfortunate. The word used is has the idea of being ravaged, devastated. So spiritually, they had apostatized. They had walked away. And remember, you know your heart better than I do. Pitiful. They were pitiful, the object of extreme pity. They were spiritually needy people. Okay, they were like, I thought I had it right, but I really don't. And God, you know, we talked about that in James. Let your yeas be yeas and nays be nays in James chapter 1. If you ask amiss, don't expect God to answer your prayer. If you're there and you're saying, Lord, I'm praying, I'm going to take this seriously, God will take you seriously. But if you don't take him seriously, he's not going to answer your prayer. Poor, as the idea speaks of extreme poverty, like a beggar, a pauper. The city boasts about their finances. Anybody who knows who's had money before, you can lose it in a flip of a dime. You can have everything you want one day, and the next day it's gone. So don't ever trust riches, because it even says in Proverbs, riches are like wings that fly away. Okay, God will take care of you. God will meet your needs, but you got to trust them. You got to trust them. Take care of that. So they were spiritually poor, blind. They were spiritually blind, obviously, because their eye salve, and that was a resin that they had gotten from the area there that they could apply to people's eyes, and so that would help. There's nothing worse than talking to somebody who claims to be a Christian, and you know your heart doesn't bear witness with them. Not being judgmental, but you have a loving, discerning heart. And, you know, it's all about what they say. You don't tell them what to say. You know, you just stand there and you let them speak. You learn a lot when you listen well. Then there was naked, the ridicule of the city that boasted in their glossy black wool. Very expensive, nice wool that they were able to get there, and it was sold quite well. Made a lot of money off of it. People like nice clothes. People like to look nice, look good. Okay, but they were spiritually naked. And so verse 18, now Jesus is going to give some counsel to Laodicea. And he says here on verse 18, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Matthew 6:20 says this, but lay up yourselves for treasures in heaven. It comes back to you every once in a while, doesn't it? You know, when things aren't just the way you think they're supposed to be, and you say, Lord, am I laying my treasure up in heaven where it should be, where neither moth nor cross or rust are corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through nor to steal. God has a blessing for us in heaven. We're going to get through this through Revelation. Remember, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Because look, I have never been to heaven before, so I don't know. But I know my heart, my treasure is where my heart is and where my mind is. And I, you know, the praise and glory we're talking about in James 2, the essence of God. We want to experience God's essence in our life. Okay, to glorify God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Another way to translate verse 18 would be, I advise you to buy from me gold that has been refined, melted down to get rid of the impurities, in order that you may be spiritually rich. You must buy the white clothes, Christ's righteousness and purity, so that you may avoid the shame of the people seeing you naked. You must also buy some eye medicine to put in your eyes so that you may spiritually see. So, as we see here, you know, first of all, the gold, what he is referring to here is spiritual gold. Okay? Our faith is more precious than the most precious metals out there. You know, metals have just gone up through the roof because of the inflation of the dollar. Everybody knows that. But, you know, God has a special metal that he wants us to refine in our lives, our spiritual lives. And then, of course, there's that wool, okay, that, you know, we don't have to be ashamed. I don't think anybody here is ashamed of Jesus Christ. I think if anybody walked around naked, that would be a pretty shameful thing, you know. But God is saying, look, I don't want you to be ashamed of me. Clothe yourself in Jesus Christ in Colossians. We need to put off the wretched person. Put on Jesus Christ because, you know what, you belong to God. And one day, it's like a butterfly. One day you were a cocoon wrapped up in a shell, and God's working in your life. It's just an example. And then one day you'll be like a butterfly in heaven. We'll have glorified bodies. We will have a new name. We'll even have, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, we'll have his name on us. You know, he'll call us by a new name, and we will look at him as a new name in glory. So many things are going to change. It's not going to be like it is today. It's going to be far better. And so, and then, of course, the eye part, the eye saw. You know, I would think there'd be one thing that would just horrify me. And I tell you what, I don't scare. I don't. I usually punch first. I used to as a kid. I punch first and then ask questions later. My dad told me that. So that way you don't have people who will mentally just pick you apart, which I think is a worse abuse than physical abuse. But the point is that one day we will see him for who he is. And keeping with my train of thought here, so we need to do that in verse 18. We need the Council of Laodicea. We see here that they needed to listen to what the Lord had to say. Let me encourage you here today. Keep an ear open for the Lord. I need to do the same thing because you never know what we have plans that we have, but yet God may have other plans for us today. Just keep that open, okay? Keep focused on the Lord. And then we see here, of course, there is verse 19 through 20, excuse me, yeah, verses 19 and on, we're going to be looking at the comfort of Laodicea, okay? So 19 says here, if you listen to what I say, then these things will come to mind, okay? And it's always good that the Lord has our back. Verse 19, as many as I love and I rebuke and I chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. That idea of being zealous and repent has an attitude of mourning over sin and hungering and thirsting after righteousness. In other words, repent, repent. Every day we're repenting, aren't we? Because we're sinners. It says in 1 John, if we say we are without sin, we're liars. You know, every once in a while, it's good to eat a little bit of humble pie and to realize, you know, God, you still rule. And God, you blessed me too. You've given me so much. Whatever it is in your life, God has blessed you. And I pray that he keeps on blessing you. But keep ourselves humble before him. Verse 20 says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in him and dine with him. It's interesting. One, Christ is standing there knocking, 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 knocking. You know, have you ever been in the kitchen, working in the kitchen, and somebody's knocking on the door? What's more frustrating? Somebody keeps on pushing the doorbell, ding, 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 ding. And it's usually a little kid standing there and say, hi, I want to sell you something, you know. So you're like, oh, yeah, sure. Okay, Jesus is there, and he's knocking on our hearts. constantly. And he says here, you know, there's a time when I want to sup with you. And that idea, the interesting thing is to sup is an evening supper. And many theologians and so on and so forth down the road, they have interpreted this as before the tribulation, before the tribulation hits, okay? Jesus is saying, wake up, because there are going to be people that are going to go through that tribulation. I believe the church is going to be raptured. I believe those who believe in Christ, believe in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, they'll be caught up in there. Those who are dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive will be remain. That's fine. But there's going to be people that are still in churches once the rapture happens because they're not saved. They don't know Christ. They know religion. I have met some people who know their Bible better than I do. And they just run circles around me. I'm like, okay, you know, I wish I was that smart. But God looks at the heart. He looks at the mind. And one person used that illustration about the mind and the heart. It's the worst part to have, that 18 inches between heaven and hell, you know. There are people out there going to church, going to church to get saved, or giving their tithes or works salvation. And we've seen that in church history, and we're going to look at that in a little bit here. But Jesus says, it's evening time, supper time, you better get ready. The bell's been rung in the country kitchen, you better get over here and sup with me, because once night time falls, that's it. Tribulation's coming, and nobody in their right mind will want to be there during that time. So he's constantly knocking on the door. Verse 21 says this. All right. And eat with me. Verse 21. And to him, whoever comes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So just as it was when Jesus ascended up into heaven, he sits on the right hand of God, and he's even there right now. Just as when we ascend up in heaven, we will be ruling with him and reigning as priests. Okay? And what a glorious time. You know, I wish there were days my dad was still around. And I wish there were days my mom was still around. I still wish there were days when, you know, people have left us are still around. But I have a comfort that one day I will be with them. And I look forward to that. So I have an eternity to look forward to. Jesus is in heaven right now, my friend. And he looks down and he loves us. But this is a time of grace in the dispensation. We have seven dispensations. I'm not going to get into all those. We're in dispensation of grace. We're in the church age. And it starts at Pentecost and ends at the rapture. Okay, and after that is the tribulation period. Next week, Lord willing, I'll be getting into Ezekiel 38 and 39. You know, a couple choices of why the temple hasn't been built. One is in Ezekiel 40, it mentions a lot that the temple will be rebuilt after the rapture happens and at the beginning of tribulation period. Okay? Another one is theory is the north and south temple theory, where there's still room for the temple to be built, okay, along with the mosque or Islam faith has. So that being said, so sitting down symbolizes in verse 21 we'll reign with Christ through eternity. Isn't that wonderful? No more death. And the one thing that Jesus hated more than anything else was death. He hated it. He even said that in John when Lazarus died. You know, he hates it. And we hate it too. Because it's an unwelcome friend. And we want our friends to be with us. Then we see here that in verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Oh, if we're just better hearers. I need to be a better hearer. You know, my problem is sometimes I phase people out. They'll be talking to me and my mind will click to something else. I can be pretty bad sometimes, you know. But I listen, I hear what they're saying, but I'm thinking of something else. You know, God wants our full attention to his word. Spurgeon said this: no one is more miserable than a half-committed Christian, just enough into God, just enough into the world. You never get to experience the joys of sacrifice, the joy that comes from feeling his pleasure. In other words, we're like the prodigal son. You know, I'm going to be going to one of these nursing places out here, not Evan, but this week, and I'm going to talk about the prodigal. You know, we have prodigal churches out there. They just walked away, and they want to live in the world, and then they come back. You would never know. Oh, goodness, wouldn't want anybody to know what my life's like right now. Gets us all a little convicted, doesn't it? Okay, every once in a while I have to preach that. And I am are you kidding me? I need just as much as anybody else. So we need to come back and repent. The problem is with the church of Laodicea, they didn't come back and repent. Jesus says, you make me sick. You ever had somebody say that to somebody? You make me sick. In other words, I just want to throw up about this. I don't want any more of you. I want to get away from you. I want to have some time to get away, to be with myself and to understand, regroup everything and build things back up better than what we had before. So just for the time that we have left here, the Laodicean church represents the church age from the early 20th century through the tribulation period here. There were some very strong colleges and universities that came through the 1700s and were doing great into the 1800s and to the early 20th century. That was Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Ivy League. They were all doing great until these people, 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, there were also false prophets amongst the people at these universities. And there will be false teachers among you, that they will come from these universities. They used to be preacher schools, I mentioned to you. And then just like the YMCA, used to be Young Men's Christian Association. That's all. It's all changed. Why? Because as one guy told me who knew one of the board members years ago in Ohio, he says, because they compromised. Because of money. They wanted more money. And if we compromised things around here, we would have a church bloat it. We, you know, knock out the walls, you know. Of course, I know the board, they would knock me out if I did that. and I'm very thankful, too, because, you know, I love my board and I love my people. There were also false prophets amongst people, even there were false teachers among you who were secretly bring destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, bring themselves swift destruction. Listen to the D's here. And many will follow their own destructive ways, because whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed by the covetousness and will exploit you with deceptive words for a long time. Their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. So they're all there, deceptive, destructive, and denying. And you know, they won't come out. They're not going to tell you that offhand. They're going to slowly weasel or just creep in. They're creeps. And you get them in. There's all kinds of people out there today that are like that. Get into your own life, into your own houses. You got to be careful. They're everywhere at work. They're no good. So it came back in the early 20th century. They came out. You can't believe in the whole Bible. You can't do that. Because I remember watching this movie called Sheffy, put out by Bob Jones University. Excellent movie. This guy had no training, but as one of the preachers said, just get up there and be yourself, right? So Sheffy started to learn. He had no education in that way. But he decided to push on. He became a circuit rider. And then God called him the evangelist. And he became an evangelist. And finally, when he became popular, wherever he went, they had thousands of people coming. Again, that's the Spirit of God. Like Dwight L. Moody, he says, I was doing the same things that I was doing every day, and then all of a sudden, God showed up, and God started changing anything. It's not Dwight L. Moody. It's not us. It's God that does these things. So these men came up from these seminaries and these universities, and they said, hey, we want you to be with us. Remember, the devil always tries to trick you with lust, with money, and different things. And Sheffy, I love what he says. He goes, I don't want this. I just want the Lord Jesus. And they looked at him like he was crazy. What? What? You know, we could give you all this. We could give you a professorship. We could give you a nice house, all this stuff. And he goes, I just want my Lord. That's all I want. So the IFCA, this church is part of the Independent Fundamental Churches of America. They were founded back in the 1930s. And they were founded because of liberalism. And they were able to confront that. And it goes on today. And I'm watching them very closely. They're there to help churches. I'm very thankful for the IFC. I've been with them for years. But remember, you get these big organizations and they start, you know, they can go south too. So you got to be careful because you got a lot of people involved and there's accountability. So what happened was is that these people start to, in the early 20th century, started to deny the virgin birth, inerrancy of the Word of God, the atonement of Christ, the literal hell, and so on and so forth. But also at the same time, you had Dallas Theological Seminary came into fruition back in the early 20th century, and then also you had places like Bob Jones University. So what happened? The World War II, you had a strong Oral Roberts, strong Billy Graham movement going on with evangelists. And so what came out of that? And you had the humanistic, we talked about the humanistic teaching. I just have a few minutes left, so you can just bear with me. You have worldly love. You are not wrong. Just feel good about it. Remember the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who knows it? Check your heart. Check your mind. Okay, you can lead yourself astray. Number two is entertainment. Entertain them in worship and they will come back. Jesus says, worship me in truth and spirit. You know, there's churches today that have 45, and I'm not knocking them, please. I'm not a church knocker. These messengers behind the pulpit, they'll have to answer to God like I will. So I am nobody's judge here. I want to love people with truth. So, they have 45 minutes worth of worship, 15 minutes of the word. I like to have it the other way around. You can do it, another lie. Instead of repent, follow your heart. Jesus says, deny yourself. Pick up that cross. Say, I'm scarred today. I have so many scars. Satan likes to haunt you with your past. Ah, get behind me. I got a better life to live. I'm a child of God. You cannot touch me. I was paid for, and I am his, and he is mine. He has nothing over you, except if God allows things to happen to strengthen you. Don't get angry, God. Then number four, compromise with the world. Another lie. Let's all get along. And the Bible says in James that love with the world is enmity with God. It's warfare with God. You can't serve two masters. You hate the one or you love the other. And of course, back in the 70s, and I still have a few minutes left. You're not going to get rid of me that quick. In the 1970s, you had the God is Dead movement, Southern Baptist back in Germany. You had a lot of students coming over from the United States and coming into Germany. I like Germany. My wife's German, right? And she's like, okay, that happened. Yeah, I remember in Time magazine, God is Dead. Well, a lot of students went over there to the seminaries. And, you know, the church is dead over in Europe, so dead. You go over there, and you can sense this. You come here in the United States like living in two different worlds. I'm not talking about culture. I'm talking about the spiritual part, okay? And there are some flames that are still being lit in Europe. But the church is being overrun by Muslims, and that's another story. But then, so that's what happened to Southern Baptists. They went downhill because they were one of the last ones that were really standing strong. And then their universities went liberal and so on and so forth. And then you had in the early 2000s, you had progressive Christianity. You had a mixture of human reasoning, religious traditions, and spiritual mysticism. So, you know, all this was going on. And, of course, you had progressive Christianity. And, of course, now just recently, because there's just so much that's happened over the years, the line has been blurred. It has been so blurred. You know, when you can't see right sometimes, you really appreciate your eyesight, you know. And so just recently in a Pew Report surveyed, It says with evangelicals, and all that is just a name. It means I'm a Christian. Okay, evangelical really doesn't mean anything. Okay, anymore. Back in 2018, 70% said, "Yeah, I identify as being a Christian." Now it is in 2023, 2024, 30%. So the line is being blurred. These young people coming up, and I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, how is the United States going to be?" Well, it's basically why, as the United States mentioned, a Bible prophecy, there's two things. Okay, down to the bottom, rock gut, that's it. Okay, one, the churches walk away from God, apostatize. Okay, God no longer answers prayers here in this country. And second is Israel. Don't ever turn your back on Israel. Pray for Israel. Because we're already turning our backs on God. Look at our younger generation. They're confused, they're tortured, they're demented, and unfortunately they've been taught a lot of stuff that's not right. If you ever watch Charlie Kirk, he would hit nails center right there. And a lot of these kids don't even know what they're talking about. Not that late Charlie Kirk made fun of them. He's just like, this is it. What's wrong with you? Don't you study? So unfortunately, churches today, people just don't study. I'm thankful for you all that do that. So it goes as a family and a church, so goes the nation. So here we are, Laodicea. Okay, after this, and I'm done. So after this point, no more mention of the church. That's it. And that's as far as it goes because the tribulation period starts up now. Okay, and I have so many verses that, I love to share, but I'm out of time. I got to stop.